Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 154. I am Derek, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. As always, go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and purchase all your holiday crap there. It kicks us back just a little bit of money and helps us put things together like this podcast and the website, and it just generally helps out. So if you appreciate what you're listening to, maybe do that free thing for you and kick a little something our way. As always,
that was probably I interrupted you, but that was probably your best intro. I got excited. That was probably your best intro.
This idiot over here is Bob. What's going on?
What's up, man? You got me so excited. I jumped in there and kind of cut you off. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, it's we skipped last week and we're back here. Holiday week. It is Thanksgiving week and Black Friday week. Which I think is more exciting than Thanksgiving for most people.
Well, definitely.
Yeah, so I mean, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Do you have any items that you want to pick up, or that you already saw the deals? Like they already, all the websites out there have a lot of the deals already listed. Like anything that you're looking to pick up or anything like that?
Nothing like really exciting in this realm. If I had the funds arranged correctly, I'd probably go out and probably build a new PC right now. Just hoping for sales for that, but I'll probably get like a printer. Yeah, I know, ancient. And, I might get some smart outlets for my office, put everything on that.
Nice.
Depending on if I can get some for real cheap and,
Well, talking about your smart outlets, I believe Amazon has some type of deal where you get like the Echo Dot plus a couple smart outlets or something.
Well, I have a Home Mini already, a Google Home Mini.
Okay.
So I just need outlets.
They should be something, I would think, on Black Friday Amazon for that, or Cyber Monday, one of the two.
The real question is, do you go Black Friday or do you wait for Cyber Monday? Or do you just buy Black Friday and then just return if the deal's better Cyber Monday?
That's the thing. I could be wrong, but I don't think like any of the Black Friday deals on Amazon, like I'm pretty sure the return is still the same. I don't think it's...
Yeah. Nobody can change the return policy.
I
guess they could, but...
Yeah. So I don't think, so if it is, you can just buy one and then whenever you get it, return it. And Amazon has that 30-day return, no questions asked. So
yeah, it's amazing.
So I don't really like. I'm just gonna be picking up like a lot of around the house stuff. I like always buy certain things in bulk, like toilet paper and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time to do that.
Yeah, so like there's usually like a half off something, and I'll just buy it. You know what I mean? Or anything that I might like think I need around the house, I usually get. I don't really have anything. I'm not looking to get a new camera. I think I bought my new camera, 2 years ago around this time?
Really good deal on the A6000 now, which is amazing to me that is still a relevant camera. But
it's so good. And it's a good camera because it allows you to learn photography in such a small form factor, I think.
Yeah, and it lets you learn the whole spectrum of it because you can swap lenses.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I think it's like $599 with two lenses.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a good, does the 6000 do 4K?
No,
I think it only does 1080p, but it is a 24 megapixel camera, so it's pretty legit.
Yeah, I don't think anything else. I might pick up a couple more smart outlets. I have a good amount of them. I use the TP-Link ones.
Okay.
They're pretty awesome. And maybe a couple more smart bulbs. I like doing the smart bulbs on, lighting just because it's easier than the,
putting the whole lamp on the outlet.
Yeah. And the smart bulbs are usually like, you can change colors, you can dim, you can do all that kind of stuff, built in. So, I also have the TP-Link ones, and all their smart products work within the same app, which is nice because you get all these different smart products from all these different companies, and you have 6 or 7 different apps, unless you're using like a Google Home or Amazon Alexa or Apple Home Kit. I think that's what it's called.
But you're still using those apps, then, aren't you? You just have to configure them in the app, and then
So you have to set everything up within the app, but then you can obviously use voice control through Google or Amazon to control them. And again, those controls are sort of limited, like on and off. But if you wanted to do something little bit more in depth. Sometimes it's not supported by Alexa either. So, yeah. But yeah, a lot of awesome sales. I always think I'm gonna buy a TV because my TV is ancient. But you know,
there's deals, man. I spent a ton of money at Best Buy the last year or the year before, I don't remember, and I'm in like their club, and so I got access to their deals already. Like, really good deals on TVs if you're like looking for a nice TV.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I just like I said, I'm just gonna go on Amazon on Friday and just see what's going on. Amazon does have a lot of deals already listed, like all of their Amazon products, like the Echoes, the Echo Dots. They own a security system, whatever it's called. Like, all the Amazon products are already on sale, what their Black Friday price will be. I think it's all week, so that's something you can look at. I know Samsung has some awesome deals, so like all of their really awesome monitors are on sale already, their Black Friday price, as well as their SSDs. So if you're looking to pick up an SSD, those are on sale, and their portable SSDs are also on sale. So a lot of stuff, nice. a lot of good stuff this week. This is always, I think, like, I get excited for this and I get excited for the Steam summer sale typically. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But let's stop talking about wasting our money and talk about,
is it really a waste?
Come on. Not all the time. But let's jump into our reviews this week. And since we skipped last week, we're going to throw in a couple of ones from last week as well. We're going to start things off with ADATA's XPG Spec. I can't even talk.
Good words.
Spectrix D41. We reviewed their DDR4000 16GB kit, dual channel kit. And this is kind of a follow-up to their Spectrix D40, which was one of their first RGB kits, which was really flashy and crazy. This has a more subdued look, which I really like. The heat spreaders on these are really, really good. I don't even think my photos do them justice. Like, they just look really, really good. A single light bar at the top, which acts as a diffuser for the RGB LEDs underneath. You have a black PCB that matches the overall look of these. And it's just a good kit. It's a really good kit when it comes to performance. The RGB controls, they have their own software, but this is compatible with everything else as well. So if you do have a name brand motherboard from the past 2 years, you will be able to control it through your motherboard software. All of the 5 RGB LEDs are individually controllable. So you can kind of set up different things like waves and all that kind of stuff if you want. Of course, there's a lot of preset effects in the software as well. As I said, good performance, but really awesome overclocking on these. I was able to bring these up from 3000 megahertz to 3466 without touching voltage, without touching timings. It just worked. Nice. Out of the box, which is awesome. It's an extra 466 megahertz for nothing. Yeah, 100% stable, no problems whatsoever.
Did you end up going further and loosen the timings or add voltage?
I did, and it went up even higher. But nice. I like to do voltage is fine, but if I have to change timings, then I don't know. I'm not a fan of that.
Well, yeah, you really got to start doing some benchmarking then and seeing what your trade-offs are.
Yeah. So, but with not changing anything, 3466 is pretty awesome, especially when you get over 3000 megahertz when it comes to a lot of these kits, especially for an RGB kit too, because RGB kits aren't made to be like the crazy high performance. It's more show than, but yeah, so it's just a great kit. And with, prices going down, this kit, when I reviewed it last week, I forget, let me look at the pricing here, but these aren't that expensive. It was $164 on Amazon. Let's see, now they're down to $142.99.
sweet.
Yeah, so even lower for this kit.
It's for an 8 gig kit.
No, 16 gig kit, which is weird because one thing about their packaging, when they sent it to me, I thought it was an 8 gig kit. It says on the packaging, it says 8 gigabytes in big letters, and then a little times two smaller, which is weird because typically you see the total capacity listed. Yeah. Not.
You think they put a big 16 on there instead?
Yeah, you would think. But yeah, so it's just a great kit. Really impressed with this kit from ADATA, and it just looks awesome as well. And I really like it. It's one of the better kits I think I reviewed so far this year. The only thing is with a lot of these, besides I believe it's the HyperX kit, is that the RGB effects will go out of sync. That just happens. The only ones that don't do that are those HyperX ones that have the little chip on them that allows them to stay in sync.
Right.
But yeah, just a great kit. Definitely one I would recommend. And really good pricing, with prices continually to go down on DRAM and SSD products. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So. At least that's one thing we're starting to be able to afford.
Yeah, right. So talking about that, I took a look at the Crucial P1, which is surprisingly Crucial's first consumer NVMe M.2 solid-state drive. And you would think, you know, Crucial would have had another NVMe drive, but they haven't. This is the first one. And this is a very entry-level mainstream, which Crucial is really known for. I mean, in all honesty, their BX and MX solid-state drives have always been very affordable and have been not crazy high performance. They're just, you know, the typical solid performance. Though. Yeah, solid across the board. So this drive is also one of the first drives to use the 4-bit per cell QLC NAND. Which again brings pricing down even more because it is a less expensive memory or NAND. And this drive makes use of Silicon Motion's SM2263 controller and has 1 GB of DDR3S flash in there. And this is a good drive. The rate of performance is 2000 megabytes a second read and 1700 megabytes a second write. So again, it's not crazy high performance. Like usually the super high performance NVMe drives are like 3400.
Yeah, wouldn't you say like 3000 would probably be average even?
I would say 2000 would be average. Or like
baseline, really?
Yeah, man, because you get
they're all 3000-ish.
It all depends. Those are the high performance ones.
Okay. Maybe those are the only ones I am ever looking at.
Yeah, typically. So again, with this drive, Crucial wants to get NVMe in the hands of more people. Even at 2000 megabytes a second read, that's still what, 4 times the speed of a SSD. And I don't know how many times the speed of a normal hard drive. Right. And, it performed pretty much up to those specifications. Now, the one thing you will have to consider with this is this drive does use SLC caching, which means that if you're doing sustained writes, your performance is going to drop considerably. You see this on a ton of drives, but you have to really consider what you're doing. Most people in gaming, streaming, you know, daily tasks, even video editing and anything, you're not doing sustained writes on any drive to the extent where you're writing multiple gigabytes per day on your system. It's just not something that happens. So that's the one downfall of this drive, is it does use the SLC caching. But besides that, it performs up to specifications. It's a really good drive. And one thing I really like about this is a lot of these more entry-level NVMe drives come with a 3-year warranty. This one comes with 5. So you have 5-year warranty. The 1 TB drive is $219.99. The 500 GB is $109.99. For those speeds, I think that's awesome.
22 cents a gig is fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, you're really getting a great deal here. And we looked at Toshiba's OCZ RC100, which is marketed to be the same type of thing. And this performs much better, both read and write. And that one only has the 3-year, where this one has the 5-year. So
it's really not a surprise.
Yeah. You know, and again, this doesn't have a heat sink or anything like that, but it didn't overheat at all in our testing. And it's single-sided, which means it's going to fit in more devices as well.
Nice.
So just like I said, just a great drive. I think it's a good entry for Crucial into this market, especially because, you know, the middle range, the mainstream is where companies sell most of their products. While the high end is great, not everybody's doing that, you know. So to get more people on NVMe and just make it more popular, I think this is a great drive, and I think it would be a great first NVMe drive for a lot of people. So
yeah, definitely. You think they'll end up coming with like an M1
faster? I would think. I think they will. We really haven't seen some crazy high performance drives again. From Crucial, this is their first NVMe, so it's been a while since they even released a high-performance SSD. They had their MX series, But, you know, again, in that series, we were you're always stuck at 550.
Right.
Read and write. So it wasn't like they were pushing.
With Solidstate, it was more about like consistency across the different file sizes.
Yeah. So I would think so. I would think, you know, early into next year, they might have, like you said, like an M1 or something like that for high performance. And if they can back it with a good, you know, warranty, which I assume they would. Yeah, it would be a great drive as well. So
might even be something they might show us at CES, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I believe it is. So yeah, definitely cool. Two awesome products so far, and we'll move on to a CPU cooler. And this one comes from Riven, and it's their Brontis CPU cooler, which is a smaller, low profile C-type cooler, which is basically made for small form factor builds. Very, very small, very thin fan on there. And it does a pretty good job. Installation of it is a little tricky because there's no backplate. You actually have to like screw it in from the back of your motherboard. It can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done inside of a case. I didn't because we used a test bench, but, if you had a CPU cutout, you could do it. It's just like a lot of finagling.
This install bracket is like, it works. Sometimes you could do it and you'd be like, there's nothing wrong with that. It was totally easy. That's just because you got lucky and it all lined up. There's other times where like you're getting all four of those and not, because as you start to tighten the one screw down, it pulls the others out of place a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, the thing is too, is that I do like the idea of backplates just because it properly distributes all the weight.
Yeah.
Where screws, you're putting the integrity of the connection on each screw. You know, so if one screw fails, the whole thing fails. Whereas the backplate, you have the entire plate taking, you know, distributing that weight properly. But this is a smaller cooler, so I don't think that's that big of a deal. But again, I just feel more comfortable with a backplate. When it comes to performance, it did all right. You don't expect it to do great based on its size, and it really didn't do, I mean, all that great. If you look at our graphs from our new test system, you know, it was second to last out of our four coolers. The AMD's Wrath Prism RGB performed better by a little bit, and again, that comes with a CPU cooler. But I think if you're, you know, whether it's AMD or Intel, and if you're doing like a small form factor build, this is a cooler that I would recommend because it does do well. We've seen cases, especially with that Wrath Spire cooler, which is complete garbage from AMD. I mean, basically our processor was downclocking because it was getting too hot on that. So, you know, that didn't happen with this. So yeah, I don't think it's a bad cooler. I don't think it's a great cooler by any means either. But it's not designed to be a crazy high performance cooler. It's, you know, it's designed for home theater PCs, small form factor builds, mini ITX builds, or something like that.
You know, the funny thing about that is that most of those builds are going to use the onboard video. And you would think that you'd want a little better cooler, but you're also limited by form factor, of course. So
yeah,
it's an interesting trade-off there.
Yeah, so we see a couple of these. We're actually going to have another one coming up next week, which will be interesting. The same type of cooler.
Good comparison.
Yeah, good comparison for sure. It's $38. I think it would be better served at $30, honestly, $29.99. Mm-hmm.
Because it's really like $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's better served at $29.99. But again, the cooler is a couple years old as well. So that's again something that you might want to consider. But again, there's not a whole lot of these smaller form factor coolers like this. I mean, there's a few, like a handful, but there's not a lot. Tower coolers are much, much more popular. But again, when you're kind of limited by form factor and size, this is a cooler that you're going to have to get, or you're going to go AIO or custom water cooling route. So definitely check that one out. And the last thing that we're going to talk about this week that we reviewed was an energy supplement / drink. I talked about it a little bit on the last podcast. This is called Sneak Energy. And I believe they're out of the UK, I think. And this is basically an energy drink that's marketed towards gamers. You know, I tried it out, and I think it does its job. I mean, if you look at what's in it, and I actually compared it to Monster Zero Ultra. I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with that. That's the white Monster can. Mm-hmm. And that's like their, I guess you would call it, that's the best for you Monster. Because it has zero sugar and zero calories.
Right.
You know, this is also not that bad for you. It only has 12 calories, zero sugar. So, if, you know, not comparing it to the Monster, but even comparing it to like normal Monster or a lot of energy drinks in general, like Red Bull, which do have a lot of sugars, a lot of carbs, and a lot of the other ones, like, have a lot of calories. Like, I used to drink those Amps, mm-hmm. Amp energy drinks, and those had 220 calories per can, and I was drinking, like, two cans a day, so.
So
this, you know, based on what's in it, it's good for you. It has 150 milligrams of caffeine in it compared to Monster, which has 140. And I think, like I said, it does its job as an energy drink. I think, I don't think, you know, they try to market it as making you a better gamer. I don't feel it makes me a better gamer. I feel that it does what an energy drink does, just like drinking a Monster. And it's different flavor. It's not carbonated or anything like that. Like Monster is, it's like a, like taking a supplement almost.
Yeah.
Because it's a powder. Yeah. It's like Kool-Aid. So there's three flavors. You have blue raspberry, cherry bomb, and stealth. My favorite is the blue raspberry, followed by the cherry. The stealth does not taste good at all, so I would not recommend that. They also offer a new tropical one, which I would be interested to try because I like more that type of flavors. But the one thing that this does have above, say, like a Monster, like the Monsters, you can buy them on Amazon, and I think they're $1.38 per can. Whereas this comes to, if you buy the big tub, which is $34.99, it gives you 40 servings. So I think it's like 85 cents a serving. So that's kind of where this comes out.
Yeah, a lot cheaper than a, Amp or Monster or anything.
Yeah. So it's a lot cheaper. And again, compared to a lot of those drinks, it is better for you. I mean, there's no sugar in this. There's only 12 calories compared to usually most energy drinks are like 180 to 250. And they have a bunch of carbs in them, which this doesn't either. So I think it's something worth trying out. They have like taster packs if you wanted to do it that way. But I think it's just, you're going to get more value if you buy the full tub. But like, again, I think it's just like any other energy drink like this kind of, you know, mm-hmm. I they're just marketing it towards gamers because that's a huge market segment that the market towards.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, it did its job. I really like their logo. I think, I don't know if you like it, but I think it's a cool logo.
That's all right.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. If you know, you're a gamer and you want to kind of get off the energy drinks, the sugar energy drinks, this might be something, that you might want to check out. Again, it, like I said, it's the blue raspberry tastes really good. And I'd be interested to try the new tropical one. But yeah, I think it's cool. I like that, you know, gaming is becoming more mainstream, that they're just marketing everything towards gamers these days.
Yeah. Well, I feel though that like energy drinks have been marketed to gamers for like years though.
Yes. Like, yes.
Yeah.
They're trying to make this like a lifestyle brand. You can see it by their website and their social media and all that kind of stuff. But like I said, I think it wasn't like it didn't work. I could feel the caffeine. You know what I mean?
That's a really hard thing to actually like quantitatively test for.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was like, I replaced my afternoon Monster with this, and I didn't feel like the days that I like run out of Monster, like I feel really tired cause I'm addicted to caffeine.
Yeah.
So I replaced my afternoon Monster with this, and I felt the same. Getting that extra boost of caffeine in the afternoon, I could tell that it was there, because if it's not, like, I'll get a headache or I just feel really tired. You know, so again, we list the supplement facts that are in it. So if you want to see what's all in it and everything like that, and they do list all that stuff on the website. Like, this isn't one of those companies that like don't tell you what's in their drink, because there were some of those for a while.
Yeah.
that were marketing towards gamers and just not telling.
I'm wondering how they can get away with that with a drink. Well, I guess if it's not mixed, then it's not technically a food, because supplements are not considered food. They're not inspected by the FDA.
Yeah, so, this is not, this is, we actually put that in the review. This is not regulated by the FDA.
So you can I'd be curious to see independent testing. It seems like a pretty stand up brand, but even like Muscle Milk has really poor results for free metal. I think they call it free metals. But like literally there's metals in that, like that's independent testing. That's what they're testing for. So yeah, that's just something that you want to keep in mind when you're doing any supplement, because they are not regulated by the FDA.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we do have that in the review. It actually says it in the review. So, like I said, I think that if you're wanting to, you know, try to get off some of the energy drinks and do this instead, it's worth trying. I mean, a tub's what, $30 or $40, $30. $34.99, which isn't horrible. It gives you 40 servings just to try it out. I mean, you know, why not?
That, like you said, like that gets you down to like less than $1 a drink. So
yeah,
that's saving
$2
to every Monster or whatever you used to drink.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, so check out our review. Check out their website. There's a ton of information on there. And again, they do list all of what's in it on their website as well, but we have it listed on the review too. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we cover a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a submission, which is a really good submission. Some of the ones we've got have been pretty bad, but this one... is called The Machine, and it's by Reza. I'm not going to say your last name because I'll just butcher it. But by Reza, who submitted it to us. And this is just, I would call this like a blacked out build. Like it's just a black case, black components, black coolant from what I see. And it's just a solid, clean build. I don't know what your thoughts. Is that a Case Labs case? I was going to ask you.
It feels very Case Labs-y.
Yeah.
Seen the front shot, though. Yeah, I don't think so. No, there's rivets in it.
So that might be the 800D.
The upper left. Yeah, it might be.
It just looked a little too refined to be an 800D.
Yeah.
Because the front it doesn't have the Corsair logo on it, obviously, which the 800D does. But it looks either like a Case Labs or an 800D.
Man, I don't know what.
And he didn't list the case.
Front panel, that is. It might be custom. But man, it's pretty. There's a lot of little things that I wouldn't say it's not custom. Man. No, I don't think it's custom. It might be modded. It might be modded so that we can't recognize the front panel. But
Yeah.
Man, it does look a lot like an 800D. It also looks like. Man, that one silent case I had years ago, that was my test case. I forget which one that was.
I know which one you're talking about, but I forget what it's called as well.
It was just some random brand. I don't remember.
Yeah.
What is this? It's so familiar. The front shot with the separated, with the shroud has like a separated panel between the bottom of the case and the top, the interior main compartment. And it looks super familiar, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I think it's like, I mean, do you like how clean? Case Labs. Do you like how clean it is?
Oh, dude, it's really clean. Yeah, I love the reservoir setup. Like the tubing, just where does it enter and exit?
The back.
Like straight to the back, but it's so.
It's done so well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, another thing to note is he's got pretty, but the coolant's pretty black even with flash photography. He's got, or they might be just constant lights, but It's the black's really good. Black is extremely difficult to get right, so he's in the coolant. So, good job.
Yeah, I think the hard tubing's really good. I really like that the rear of the case, even though there's a panel that's going to go on there, he did a good job of making it look nice and clean back there too.
It's sexy.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. All the wiring is really good. Just like
little carbon fiber stickers over the backs of the fan. On the fans, where like you normally have the sticker with the numbers and stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's got little carbon fiber stickers on there.
And he
attention
painted,
to detail.
He painted or covered the backs of like the SSD and the full size hard drive as well to make them all black too.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Looks like custom. That. Is it custom heat sinks on the RAM modules as well? I think to make them just all blacked out. They're not water cooled, but.
Possibly. Like. I can't tell. Is there a close up of those?
Not sure.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, they do look like custom heat sinks on there. Yeah. To make them look like they're all, you know, black. It's just a really good build.
The back is like. Honestly, the back is probably better than the front.
If you
can appreciate the work that goes into that, that's something. Yeah. He sleeved everything too. Every cable in this is perfectly sleeved. That's great.
Yeah, it's a really, really good case and an awesome submission. You know, he just randomly emailed us to feature it. So yeah, I think this is just a really good build. Really well done. I think. The total cost of the system was $14,000, I think you said.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What's he got in it?
I mean, at the time when he built it, it's a 1600 watt power supply. There's $500. That's EVGA Supernova, so that's at least 500. He has two ASUS ROG Strix 1080 OCs. Not sure when he bought those. He has the Rampage 6 Extreme, which is $600.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has an i9-7900X, which is at least $600, or was.
Sweet.
And then if you count all the water cooling, all EK, I believe. You're looking at a good amount of money. I forget. He sent me a document with, like, literally every part down to the T. I didn't list all the water cooling stuff because he listed literally, like, every part down to the T. Yeah, everything.
Well, no barbs, but every fitting.
Yeah, like every fitting, he had a list for everything, which was pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, I just think it's so clean. It's really, really clean.
Build. I like it. Yeah. Hopefully, if he's got that list of what it cost, I mean, he must have paid for it himself. So
I think he did it. He was the builder, and he did it for a customer.
Okay.
I believe, or somebody, I believe. But I'll send you the document he sent me with everything. Like I said, it's a lot of work that went into this. He said it took him a year and a half. Which makes sense if you're doing all this by hand.
His customer was pretty dedicated to waiting, I guess.
Yeah.
Hopefully
Go ahead.
Hopefully he bought the components like after he was done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you start on a PC a year and then you don't finish till a year and a half later. All your components are outdated.
Yeah. So definitely check this one out. I think it's one of the cleanest builds we've seen all year, I would say. Mm-hmm. Just the color scheme is perfect and everything. It just matches up really well. So definitely check that out for sure. Sweet build. So we are going to move on to news, and we have some decent announcements this week. First, we'll start with AMD, and they announced their Radeon RX 590, which we have been talking about. It's been rumored for a while, which will come in at $279 to start. And this is just a shrink down to 12 nanometer from 16 or 14, I forget.
Same architecture?
Yes. So you're going to get a little bit...
A little bit of power decrease,
and it will allow for higher clocks and things like that. Again, it's not super exciting because of all the announcements we've had from NVIDIA, but again, this is the mid-range, and this is where a lot of graphics cards are sold, and this gives AMD a little bit of, and it's pretty aggressively priced. I mean, it's not greatly priced, but it's decently priced for what it is. With that, they announced their Raise the Game fully loaded bundle, which is a free game bundle which actually has some decent games in it. So if you get a RX 590 or RX Vega card, I don't know why they still include Vega, people are still buying those. RX 590 or RX 590 PC. So if you built get a pre-built PC with the RX 590 in it, or a RX Vega graphics card, you'll get Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, and Tom Clancy's The Division 2, which they say is a total value of $180. The Division was a good game. I played the original, so the second one, which I don't believe is even out yet.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, you'll get that. Devil May Cry 5, I heard it's really good. Those games are really good. And Resident Evil can't be that bad. So those are some pretty decent titles that you're kinda getting.
They only have three titles, no choices, right?
Yeah.
Like most of these you had, like, you could choose out of like five or something.
Yeah. Throw in, especially Division 2, which is like a triple, you know, they're all technically triple A titles, but Division 2 is probably the best one out of those. So, I mean, you're basically getting a $60 game for free plus the other two. You know, so if you're in this range and you're looking at an NVIDIA card versus this, you might do this because you're getting free games. You're getting three good free games.
Yeah, it all comes down to whether or not you're actually going to get the performance you need to actually do what you want to do. And that's highly questionable with a single fight. Like that RX 590, the level of performance is going to be 10 series at best for NVIDIA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't even want to say, I mean, I guess you could be a 4K gamer.
No.
Not on good settings, but
not
like,
on good settings. Yeah. But they also, part of this deal is if you got an RX 580 or 570, you get to pick two games. That's still a decent.
Yeah, that's a decent deal.
Yeah, it's a decent deal. So I think they're like I said, they're trying to be aggressive on this side. It's not a new card by any means or a new architecture. So you're
tons
not going to see performance.
Tons of value, but like it just might not do what you needed to do.
Yeah, and we saw all the companies release their custom cards. Like there's a Strix, there's a, you know. So they're all out there. If you're still on the AMD side and that's what you're looking for, it's here. Again, it's not super exciting because it's nothing new per se. The thing that excites me the most about it is the gaming bundle because it's three AAA titles.
I mean, it is nice that you're getting them. I mean, because didn't I mention that just like a couple podcasts ago? Like, what happened to all the free games? We're just like, now we pay tons extra and we don't get free games or anything.
Yeah, we don't get free games. We don't even get a sticker. Like, I want a sticker to put on my case or something.
Give me a poster.
Yeah, I remember getting posters. I remember T-shirts. Getting like. Yeah, what happened? But
we're getting hosed.
I know, we're getting screwed here.
But I mean, on the plus side, if you do buy an AMD, you know, RX 590, as far as we know, it's not going to like BSOD on you. It's not going to melt down or explode, which isn't something that the green team can confidently say they do right now.
Yeah, so there have been, and there's been multiple reports of RTX graphics cards just dying, being DOA, having a lot of issues. There's
like
just
dramatically
a lot.
Fail.
Yeah, dramatic fails. And again, if you spent the $1,200, right, for the TI, right?
Yeah.
$1,200 and you use a card for a week and it dies and you're pretty upset, especially if you build a new PC with this. You know, you're playing your new PC and then it just dies. I mean, a graphics card is something that, like, you're not... It's like you're not going to run onboard graphics, so you're kind of
you're just out.
Yeah, you're just kind of stuck with this box that can't do anything until you get a new card or something.
Which I'm sure they're like decent. The times that I've had the RMA cards, it was always pretty quick process.
So there's been all these reports. So finally, NVIDIA, we talked about it, but finally NVIDIA has spoken out on this, and I'll just read what their blog post said on their forums. Limited test escapes from early boards caused the issue some customers have experienced with RTX 20 Ti Founders Edition. We stand by ready to help any customers who are experiencing problems. Please visit nvidia.com/support to chat with a live tech support team or send us an email and we'll take care of it. Which is good, which means they definitely are addressing the issue. And it seems based on that they will RMA your card, no problem, no questions asked, you would think. So it's good. It's good that,
it's good. It's the best of a bad, bad, bad situation. Can you imagine being a business owner that had purchased these for rendering or increasing performance? Like now you've got $1,200 purchases sitting in machines that may or may not just fail on you at any given moment.
Yeah. Now they say it's a small early sample, but again, the amount of reports, which isn't just like a couple, like it's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people are having these issues.
Across the whole series, right? It's not limited to the 2080 Ti?
It's more the TIs than anything right. else, but there have been issues with almost all the cards.
So
with that, NVIDIA released their, was it their quarterly earnings?
Yes. That's where we're at in the year, yep.
They released their quarterly earnings. So right after they released their Q3 2018 earnings, their stock plummeted. It looked like a straight dive. It went down from, their peak was October 1st at $289.36. And it went down almost to 140. What is it at now? Hold on.
It's at 149.08.
Yeah, so it obviously hasn't recovered to the values that it was. If you look, I mean, it was a dramatic drop on November 15th, which was 5 days ago, and it's still gone. I mean, it's gone below that.
To it opened November, at 134 today.
Yeah, 134 it opened today. So they're not doing good. And this is not just with the release of their financials. On top of that, these issues with the RTX series and things dying, all of that bad press. Plus the cryptocurrency is just nobody cares anymore. All of that extra revenue isn't happening.
Well, not only is it not revenue coming in, but they admitted that they overbuilt for it.
Yes.
So they have a ton of product in the channel still. Whether they were talking about the stock running out, right? Because prices were starting to go back up on 10 series, but it sounds like there's probably still a ton of 10 series out there. Like,
yes. Tons. And on top of that, the RTX series has kind of been underwhelming, just for the fact that the whole thing, the ray tracing, it kills your frame rates. A lot of people who have tested the ray tracing in Battlefield 5 have, like, their performance is cut. Right? Yeah, performance is cut in half when you turn ray tracing on.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole thing this is built for. This is a very bad, at least so far, the RTX series has not been good for NVIDIA. So many people who cover these products praise the 10 series, especially when you got the TI and all the other cards. Now, all of these people and us included, it's just a mess. There's just, it's underwhelming for the price, especially. And ray tracing just basically, you're not gaining performance from it. It's cutting your frame rates in half, and it's not great at all.
Yeah, well, and it's really the biggest loss is you're really not going to use that in multiplayer competitive gaming because it's going to kill you. But I think you can still use it in single player campaign type stuff. But like, so that's one game, right? That's Battlefield right now. There's nothing else. Battlefield 5, and so that's not entirely worth it. Plus, I mean, it's $1,200, right?
Yeah.
How many $1,200 cards did they think the market was going to absorb? Like, that's a ridiculous price.
Yeah,
I think they got greedy. Honestly, I think they got a little too greedy, and they're going to have to do some backpedaling here. They should reprice the entire series.
Like, yeah, I mean, honestly,
significant
I think
drops.
That might happen, but knowing NVIDIA, it probably won't.
A new the whole series is almost based on the ray tracing, right? Like that was the big, thing. And if that's not really there, how can you possibly justify the cost? So you're selling something that you're promising is going to have, you know, future availability, but maybe developers don't have to do it. It doesn't have to be in games. It probably will be, but there's no telling like how prevalent it's going to be or how quick.
Like, yeah, I mean,
you just can't justify the cost.
You can't justify the cost, and like I said, the entire launch of the series has been really bad. It's so bad that that's the worst NVIDIA stock drop in 10 years.
Yeah, it's probably, honestly, I am not an advisor, and you can't take this, don't sue me, but like, it's probably a good time to buy, right?
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's starting to come back up, and it's showing
I think it still might go down a little bit.
You think it's going to go down more?
Yeah.
Thing I got to say, though, that I would say about NVIDIA is you do know it's a good company.
Yes.
Like it is a solid company, so like they're not going away. So you're not going to like lose your money if you invest, but yeah, maybe it could go even lower, but
yeah. Talking about issues, we'll move from NVIDIA to another big, good company, well-known company, Intel.
Yeah.
It looks like the Intel CPU shortage will continue into Q2 of 2019. This is according to Asus Tech CEO, who was quoted as saying the continued CPU supply crunch escalated U.S.-China trade disputes and increasing competition in the notebook segment in Europe have pressed down Asus Tech's operational visibility for the fourth quarter of 2018 to the lowest level of 20% compared to an over 50% seen in previous years. You basically, they're not getting enough CPUs from Intel to put out these parts. Because of that, they are seeing Asus in their, especially, well, this is in their notebook segment, are seeing loss in revenue over previous quarters because of that.
Like 20% compared to 50%.
Yeah.
I guess that's also dependent on them being purchased. So there are other market factors. You can't just say it's a 30% difference, but
yeah,
that's still a big drop.
Yeah. So you have that, which is going to be it's a big deal for a lot of, you know, we as enthusiasts just think about the normal processes, but I mean, think about, you know, companies who need, you know, thousands of processors and they're nowhere to be found. So you can't sell systems.
Right.
So that's a big deal. Also, it looks like Intel will be cutting their retail processor supply through the holiday.
Because there were so many of them to begin with.
Yeah, so it looks like Intel, because of the issues that were brought up by the Asus Tech CEO and the supply chain issues that they're having, it looks like they're going to cut desktop processor. So this is all box processors. This is the processors you buy at the store. This is the processors that you order from Amazon or whatever. All the, you know, DIY retail processors will be cut. So already it looks like that means that if these processors are available or somebody gets some, you know, little shipment, they're going to be marked up incredibly high. We've seen the Core i9 9900K, which is a retail price of $499, being sold for upwards of $900. That's crazy.
That's nuts. Why would you even buy it at that point? It's already a wannabe high-end desktop part. Why don't you just buy a high-end desktop part?
Exactly. I mean, this is really bad for Intel. They're trying to gain back a lot of market share. And they're trying to get on the good side of enthusiasts, and this is not a way to do it. I know that enthusiasts make up hardly any of their volume of sales. They just don't, because their main customers are their OEM and their system builders, which that's why they're cutting the retail supply. But still, I mean, they want to have that name that they were known for 3 or 4 years ago. You're building your own computer. You're always going Intel. I never suggested anybody to go to AMD up until this past year.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
I know, right? And what's crazy is that AMD CPU parts, their prices have remained flat and have even been cut.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense to go the AMD route if you're not going to find one of these Intel parts at the regular price.
I'm pretty sure if I do anything in the near future, I'm going to AMD.
Yeah.
There's just no reason to go Intel right now.
There really isn't. It's going to be hard to
either high-end desktop or mainstream. There's no reason. It's kind of...
Yeah. 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 So Intel's having issues, Nvidia's having issues. Just
what? Man. Yeah, like what happened? The market just flipped itself upside down. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, AMD did a really good
job
with the Ryzen products to really bring Intel. And Intel, that 10 nanometer killed them. I mean, it should have been done already. we'll move away from that stuff into a really interesting product that we really don't talk about a lot of, like, launches here that aren't that are keyboard launches, but I want to talk about this product because so many times I'm at my office and I have to use a normal keyboard because the mechanical keyboards are loud. And a lot of people, you know, being in, you know, say your office and even a more corporate setting than my office downtown, having like an RGB keyboard is just like not it's like frowned upon. I would say so. Razer, of all people, introduced their Black Widow Lite mechanical keyboards. This is a mechanical keyboard with mechanical key switches that are they use their orange mechanical switches that are near silent but still give you that tactile feedback. It's an all black keyboard just with white backlighting. That's it. And it also comes with O-rings for even more like sound dampening if you needed that.
Yeah.
Comes with a carrying case. It's a detachable USB-C. I'm not sure. But yeah, I really like this. And to come from Razer of all people, I think it's pretty awesome.
Not to mention they dropped it in at $90.
Yeah, $90, not bad. Full size mechanical key. Actually, it's not full size. Sorry,
no, it's not. Yeah, I didn't notice.
Yeah,
that. Why would they release? And I mean, it's not designed specifically for the office, but it is.
Yeah,
like I feel like when you're in an office setting, you definitely want a numpad.
For a lot of people, yes, especially that you're all the people doing Excel and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But still, I do like this. I like that we're getting to the point where people want mechanical, but they want it in an office setting where you can't be loud.
They just want a classy look, you know?
Yeah, and I think this does look good. I mean, these are renders. But I really, when mechanical keyboards first came out, they were only white backlit for the most part. And I think they've always looked great that way. I have an old Cooler Master one that was white backlit and just looks fine.
Yeah. If you're being honest, like, white lighting is the best anyways. Don't tell the kids.
Yeah. The RGBs make you better, remember? But yeah, so that's really cool. $89. You can buy it online or you should be able to buy it on Amazon everywhere else soon enough. So I like it. I think it's cool. They come from Razer, of all people, who are just, RGB out everything.
Yeah, the most gamer brand out there.
Yes. So that's really cool. But talking about this RGB stuff.
Way cooler.
Yeah, these are way cooler. So G-Skill, we saw these at Computex. G-Skill finally has launched their Trident Z Royal Series DDR4 RGB memory kits. This basically look like their Trident Z RGBs, except for one, they're chrome and gold. really shiny chrome or really shiny gold. And then the diffuser, instead of being a white diffuser, it's like crystallized. It looks like crystal or ice.
Yeah. Ice on the chrome one for sure.
Yeah, it just looks awesome. And of course,
being Trident, awesome, dude. Awesome doesn't even, I think, do it justice. Like,
yeah, these are really, they're up to 4,600.
Yeah, they're fast.
Yeah, they're fast. G-Skill has always been fast, and the Trident Z line's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love these.
They are probably just it's the dopest memory kit I think that's been released. Like, period.
Man, you really like these things. I don't know. They look sure. Only thing I don't like is the Trident Z Royal. That text, I'm just not a fan.
I bet you can get it off.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But still, not a fan of it.
Yeah. No, you're right. That doesn't look good. Yeah. It hides a bit when they're installed. Yeah, yes. No, it doesn't. I guess it depends on the system, but like, dude, you can do so many awesome builds with these, but I bet they're like $1,000 for a kit.
Yeah, no word on pricing.
Yeah, it's not a good sign.
Be available December 2018, nice. But they are finally here. I remember when I saw them at Computex, I was like, why is nobody covering this? Because like, they were awesome.
They look better now than they did then, I think. These photos look better.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. If you're looking for a new RGB kit and you have the money, these will be an awesome kit to have because they just look awesome.
Black and gold build with those. Ooh.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be sick.
Give me one of those.
You're getting real excited over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So well, we have a couple gaming stories. So this one's kind of hardware and gaming related. Valve has discontinued Steam Link. That was basically their little box that allowed you to stream games and video and whatever from your PC over to your TV. They have an Android app as well, so you could like play PC games on your Android phone or tablet, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get rid of these things like crazy. You bought yours for what, $5?
Something like that. I have two of them.
Yeah.
Winsell at NIB.
Have you, like, do you use yours?
No, never. I did at first. They work really well. Like, really well. Better than I thought it would.
Most people that I've talked to who have used them said it's, like, the best. Like, there's a lot of devices. Like, this is the best one that they've ever used.
Yeah, it works like, I guess it works like your phone. Like, it works, like, it's as glitch-free as your phone is, you know?
Yeah.
So like 98% of the time, it works exactly the way it's supposed to be, and then it'll do something derpy. But you know, you kind of expect that with this. So I think maybe one time I had to actually go to my PC and like close something and restart it. So yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it for playing like racing games on the TV upstairs in the living room.
Nice.
But like PC ones.
Let me see if it's even.
Is it still available or sold out?
I would just buy one just to have one.
Honestly, I mean, I could send you one, but you could also buy one because they're like, what, $2 or something like that?
They are, yeah, they're $2.50.
You should just buy one. It would cost more in shipping.
I know. I am going to buy one.
Honestly, anybody out there, if you don't have one, you should just grab one. It's something you might
Shipping is more than the product. It's $2.50 plus $8 shipping.
How much is shipping?
$7.99.
$7.99.
Yeah. That's funny. But anyways.
Yeah, $10, get one. You won't regret it. You might just like need it for something someday. Because you can stream media over it too.
I used the NZXT one. The I forget what that was called. I forget, but that works seamlessly. I use it all the time to, like, I pay for the NHL streaming package thing.
Yeah.
And before NHL had an app for... I use Fire TV. They didn't have an app for Fire TV, so I was like, I would just do that, and it worked fine.
PC, which actually makes it like if you got to do something like a VPN or something, it makes it even simpler.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of sad to see it's discontinued. They quietly are discontinuing it. They're still going to offer support that they said.
Yeah, I was worried about that. I'm glad to hear they're going to support it.
But they said, you know, once it's gone, it's gone. So
it's weird.
$2.50.
Why do you think
that's worth it?
Yeah, why do you think it didn't succeed? Why is this
I just think a lot of people, a good amount of people, I mean, who are playing games, they want to be in front of a monitor. They want to sit down with a keyboard and mouse.
Like if you're a desktop, if you've got a desktop PC that can push on this, then they want to play on desktop. Is that what you think?
Yeah, and it's just like for streaming. I mean, a Fire TV stick, they'll probably go on sale on Black Friday for $20.
If that.
So, and that does all of your other streaming. So, like, if you were going to be streaming YouTube or whatever, all of, if you're buying a new TV in the past couple years, they're all smart TVs. They have all the streaming stuff built in.
Yeah, they all have, like, a Chromecast built in.
Yeah, or whatever it may be. So, for the multimedia functionality, it's, you don't need it. And again, if you're playing a PC game, and like, if I'm playing a brand new FPS on my system, I want to play it in front of my monitor, which again, for the most part, people have higher hertz monitors than they do TVs typically.
Yeah.
And they have higher resolution monitors than they do TVs typically.
I don't have the data either, but I don't think you're going to get the same frame rates out of that box that you would just being on your PC either.
Yeah. So I think that's the reason. I mean, PC gamers want to play on a PC. And they want to sit down at a desk with their keyboard and mouse. I mean, it's very hard for me to play games with a controller unless it's like, you know what I mean? A game that's really made
for
the
controller. Yeah, that's why I play racing games on it.
Yeah.
Like, I think those are just better with a controller. You can run mouse and keyboard on it.
Yeah, but it's sitting on a couch, or it's just different.
Yeah, sitting at a desk. Yeah, it is different. But I think, like, for me, I have an upstairs living area that, like, so then my wife can hang out with me and I can still play a game.
Yeah.
Versus, like, if I'm at my PC, I'm down in the basement, right?
Away I just in the corner. Think, I just think that it just didn't catch on for that, for those reasons. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's yeah, just... grab one. Honestly, everybody should just get one before they're gone.
Yeah,
I'm gonna,
as soon as we're done recording the podcast, that's I'll be picking one up. So,
nice.
So our last gaming news that we have here is that EA is going to be remastering Command & Conquer, which is probably, besides, which is also getting remastered, Warcraft, is probably right. One of the most popular RTSs ever. So they're starting the series off with the beginning of the series, which is Tiberian Dawn. That will be the first remaster, and then EA plans to remaster the most popular game, of course, is Red Alert. Everybody knows Red Alert.
Yeah.
Will be done after that. The biggest thing with this, because this is EA, there will be no microtransactions.
That's like the big announcement.
Yeah, so all the DLC will be included with the games, just like Blizzard did when they're remaking Warcraft 3. Everything will be scaled up to 4K, and I believe they're probably going to do the same thing that Blizzard is doing, which would mean remaking all of the characters and everything like that. Is there just bad RTSs out right now that all these other ones are getting remade?
RTS, the core of it, I feel. Like, an RTS, what makes it good is the gameplay, the game design itself, not, like, the graphics. There's, you know, like... It can look like trash almost, and it can still, if it plays better, it plays better. So, like, yeah. It's almost like it's been done. They've perfected it. It didn't need years of technological advancements. So now they're just going to make, like, what was a solid base pretty. That's what it seems
yeah,
like to me.
And or is it just like, are these all money grabs? Just like, wow. You know, and we've seen like nostalgia be very popular. We have the SNES Mini. We have the NES Mini. Yeah. The PlayStation one's coming out, right?
Yep, original.
Is there a Sega one coming out too?
I don't know. Sega has had little boxes like all throughout the years, though.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, and then you know, Blizzard announced they're redoing Warcraft 3.
Those member berries, man, it's a real thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I like the idea of this. I play Command & Conquer a lot. I especially play Red Alert a lot.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to get the Warcraft one because I played that game a lot more. But I don't know if they list price. I don't think they did. I would think it'd be like the Warcraft 3 is $30. This might be, hopefully it'd be the same.
$30 is the limit, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it's cool to see. And I like it that they've really kept the no microtransactions.
It's sad thing. That they have to like make that an announcement.
Yeah. But yeah, so very, very cool. It's good to see a lot of these like really great games, especially like this is the games that at least in our age range we grew up playing. Yeah. So it's cool to see all these remakes coming out now. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. So I will be taking a look at EVGA's Z390 FTW or For the Win motherboard. That is their mid-range Z390 board. And one thing I really like about EVGA is they haven't like conformed to like everybody's like design.
You mean like things. The big heatsink or the big IO shroud?
Big or... IO shroud or IO covers and
yeah.
Crazy graphics on the PCB and just all this other stuff. And they've really kind of come into their own when it comes to motherboard design. Some of the stuff I do like, some of the stuff I don't like, but they've kind of
like
just
the
decided
heatsinks.
Yeah, they've kind of decided to do their own thing. And yeah. If you look at their last few series of boards, they've really decided to do their own thing, especially, like, it seems like they've just completely, the last two series of motherboards have really kind of come into their own. So I'll be taking a look at this board, and, of course, I'll be testing it with that 9900K, which is so hard to get, apparently. So I will be having a lot of fun testing that over the next few days and letting you guys know how that board does. I'll also be taking a look at a keyboard, and this is the Tesoro Gram Spectrum TKL board. And this, I didn't get the white one. They sent me the black one. I kind of wanted the white one, but
you wanted the white one.
Yeah. So This board, this is a TKL sized keyboard, and it has the half keycaps, so they're not full size keycaps, they're like the halves.
Shallows.
Low profile key switches, which are not cherries. They're they're calling them their own, but I believe they're made by Kale. I believe I haven't looked yet, but I'm pretty sure
Tesoro, they did have Kale switches, didn't they? That was always what they had. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I really liked the, I reviewed the original Graham Spectrum. This one is a little bit smaller, so we'll see how that goes. But Tesoro's already made really good products, in my opinion. I've always been a fan of their products, so I'll have that. And then finally, as I talked about, I'll be taking a look at another one of those smaller, low-profile CPU coolers. And this one is from CryoRig, and it's their C7CU. And the big thing with this one is that the entire heatsink, not just the base and heat pipes, but the entire heatsink is all copper, which, one, gives it a sweet look. And two, they said it provides 15% performance over their normal one, which has the aluminum heatsink. Yep. So
I imagine.
Yeah.
It's heavy, though.
Oh, yeah, this thing's heavy. If you compared the two, I have, because I have both of them sitting here, the Reven one to this one weighs much more. So yeah, so I'll be testing that out and you know how it goes. Again, pretty much designed for mini ITX builds, but of course you can use it on anything, but it, you know, it has, you know, clearance and everything for RAM. And it, like I said, it looks like
that one's really compact.
Yeah, this one's really compact and small. But again, if you have that copper, you don't need a bigger heatsink, which is nice. But yeah, so I'll have that as well. And brings us to the end here, where we talk about if we did anything cool or nerd related, or saw any, you know, interesting movies or anything. What did you get into anything this past couple weeks?
I can't think of anything stand out that I've watched. I know I've watched something, but nothing to really report on there. I've started building a website, so I've been testing a couple different platforms. So that's been interesting. I'm building one on Wix right now. Yeah. It's like, I was thinking of this earlier, like how to describe the experience. It's like using Google, like Docs and, you know, everything for, as your like word processing versus like actually getting like Office. Does that make sense? Yes. Where it's like you kind of have the features, most of it's there, but it's very like gloves on.
Yeah, I've built on Wix before.
Okay,
I've
used Wix websites. I didn't know that, yeah.
I've never used, what's the other one that I told you, and then, that a lot of people say good is, I can't think of the other
Squarespace?
One. Squarespace? Yeah, Squarespace. I've never used Squarespace, but I've heard good things. But again, as I told you, like, you know, ThinkComputers is built on WordPress, and I like being able to go in and change code and do those things. But for a lot of people, Wix, Squarespace, any of the ones that are drag and drop, you'll get the job done because that's all you need. You don't need to go in and edit things or add things. You know, you don't need any of that. This is for Derek's starting a photography business. So this is just to get, you know, have a more professional.
I need a landing zone. Need a landing
space. Landing page and to show off his work and to book clients and things like that. So yeah, I think like either Wix, Squarespace would do the job for you.
Yeah. Like the big thing for me was I don't want to spend a lot of time developing. So.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. And anytime, you know, and then when you get into using plugins, and then they like it, the developer just doesn't update it for 5 years, and then you're like, and then it like breaks your website or whatever. There's a lot of issues that can arise with that stuff. So that's pretty cool. At least you're like learning stuff. You know, it's always good when you get like a new product or you have to do something and you have to learn it. Like when I started learning video editing or any of that stuff, you just like how you have to learn it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, but for me, I really haven't done it much. I shot my first video in a new place, which you guys can watch. Well, I shot the video of me. The B-roll was shot at the old place, but the actual video of me talking to the camera was at the new place. So you guys can let me know how you like the setup. I'm still working on a little bit of some things on getting the kind of studio setup perfected, but that was on the MSI Mag Z390 Tomahawk board. So that video is on our YouTube, so you guys can check that out.
Nice.
But yeah, nothing else really. Getting ready, like I said, for Black Friday. Kind of excited to see what goes on sale, because I just, this the one click buys on Amazon. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So I guess we'll though end us up here. Everybody listening, you know, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving, eat a lot of food, and be careful on Black Friday, because people are crazy, and don't get trampled on. And yeah, so everybody have a good holiday and be safe, and we'll catch you guys next week.
For some reason, I was expecting you to say play till you drool.